It's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's so good. We did have a good healing school yesterday, and I've got to tell you a little about a couple or two of them. Well, actually, we had three really nice testimonies, and I'm going to start out telling you about one that was so neat. There's a young lady, and I won't invite any of these people up today. I'll just tell them myself today. But anyway, this one young lady, whenever Jeff had talked about, be careful what you hear. Well, she had been told by a doctor that she had Lyme's and she only had a few years to live. Well, you know, I mean, Christian or non-Christian, a lot of times we hear that and we think, well, that's it. You know, if the doctor said, if I've got this terrible disease that's not curable, and I only have a few years to live, then I guess I better enjoy the next few years because I ain't got many to go, right? And we believe that, but somebody, she gave the testimony about having the disease at some church. She's from the Northeast, and she gave the testimony, and somebody came up and handed her a God's Power CD and said, would you listen to this? Well, I'm sure all in this room have heard the God's Power CD. If you haven't, you need to listen to it too. But anyway, it's a CD I made at the Bill Gothard Conference. And so she put it in her CD player and started listening to it. And she started hearing some new instructions about what to do if you're sick. So she did exactly what the instructions said from God's Word. And then she was here yesterday and told us that she had had a complete diagnosis run. They had checked her blood and everything, and there was not one sign of Lyme's in her blood. She was completely healed. So now she's starting to listen to some new things. Instead of listening to the world and say you can't live long. Wow, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then we had a young lady that come up with her husband. And she said, I will love y'all forever. She said, I had fibromyalgia and said, I called into the ministry center and I got a hold of Sharon. And Sharon showed me that I didn't love myself. Now, so many women don't do that, you know. So anyway, she said, I really didn't. Her husband said, yeah, she really has a problem with that, of loving herself. And I told her, I said, you know, when you don't love yourself and you don't do it God's way, that means you're slapping God in the face and saying what you did for me wasn't good enough. And I said, he doesn't like that, so it'll make you sick. And so she said, well, I had heard that from Sharon, so I repented of all of my sins. And I got back into my love walk with God and with myself. And she said, I stand before you today completely healed. I have no more fibromyalgia. I thought, So I praised the Lord for that and that young lady and what happened to her. And then we had another young lady that came up and she at the intermission, she said, Pastor, I got to tell you my testimony. I said, okay. She says, I had this problem with a pain in my head. And she said, I had heard you say the last time I was here that I had to ask my husband to pray for me and I can't pray for myself. She said, I'd never heard anything like that. And she said, the reason I didn't want to believe that was because when you said the wife must submit to the husband in all things, she said, I had a problem with that too. You know, I don't want to bust any of you ladies' bubble, but you know, I didn't write the book. If God told you, you have to submit to your husband in all things, what do you think he meant? You have to submit to your husband, whether you like it or not. If you don't, then you're going to suffer. Just like this girl did, she started having pains in her head. And she prayed for herself and she done everything. But she rebuked the devil. She'd heard me say, rebuke the enemy. You know, I mean, submit yourself to God. Nobody hardly ever hears that part. You know, just rebuke the enemy and he'll flee from you. So she said, I was rebuking the enemy, but he was not fleeing from me. My pain was getting worse. So she said, finally, I decided, okay, I will tell my husband he needs to pray for me. Now, this is the woman that didn't want to submit. So every time she tried to rebuke the pain got worse. And I told her, you know why the pain got worse? She said, well, no. I said, because you knew that you're supposed to submit to your husband and you're not doing it. And you're trying to cover it up with something. And I said, it ain't working. And so the pain's getting worse. So she finally, the pain got so bad that she finally got so sick and tired of having the pain that she went to her husband and said, honey, you've got to pray for me. She said, I have a good Christian husband, but said he's never prayed for me in my life. Good Christian, goes to church, everything, but he had never heard the principles about praying for his wife. And she had never heard the principles about submitting to her husband. But now then, they both heard, and she said, it ain't working for me. So I want you to pray for me. In fact, she said, I demand that you pray for me. He said, me pray for you? Said, woman, all you need is a little more faith. Well, see, he heard just a little from the word about you need faith, what you can do with faith. But he didn't understand that she's supposed to submit to him, and then he's supposed to pray for her. They had all missed this. They didn't know it. And so she's suffering with this pain in her head. And finally, I mean, he says, okay, after he told her two or three times, woman, all you need is a little more faith. If you had a little more faith, you can get healed. But you see, he didn't know the principles, did he? He did not know what the principles were. And the principles were the husband is to pray for the wife, but the husband's to walk in love with his wife. Now, if the husband's walking in love and the wife's not walking in love, guess who's going to get the spanking? The wife. And so she's getting the spanking, okay. She said it felt like a sharp needle. Isn't that what she said? Felt like a sharp needle going into her skull. It hurt bad, and then pull it out. She was hurting. And she had no idea that God was doing this because she was not submitting to her husband. But she finally decided, okay, I will find a book. She found a book there about healing. And she said, honey, here's some scriptures. And she opened it up, and all of them were a paragraph. And she said, oh my gosh, she can never remember this. So she thought, okay, she's opened it up in the front, and there's some one-line verses. You know, ask God anything and he'll do it or something like that. She said, he can remember those one-liners. So she handed him that and said, here, you read these and start getting ready to pray for me. I'm going to go feed the dog and I'll be back in a minute and you can pray over me. Well, the husband's reading the book, and I guarantee you, as he's reading the book and he sees those promises, he starts to pray for his wife and she ain't even there. And as she gets back in the house, just as she gets back in the house, all of a sudden, all of her pain goes away and she ain't had a headache since. Now, all of you girls that want a spanking from God or get a needle stuck in your head, just don't obey your husband. I guarantee God will put some kind of hurt upon you. You won't like it. I mean, if God says in his word, wives, you must submit to your own husbands in what? In everything. That's what he said. And if you don't do that, I guarantee there will be something come upon you or your children. If you've got children and you're not submitting, I guarantee something will come upon your children. It can even come upon your animals. Yeah, that's true. So we had those awesome testimonies yesterday, and I thought how wonderful those were and how many people got healed. And just think, every one of those healings that we had yesterday, really, the people were sick because of some kind of sin in their life. Some kind of sin. Every one of them. And then, of course, yesterday, as we prayed for people, we had a nice group here yesterday, and we prayed for those people. All of our team prayed, and we got to see God do lots of awesome things yesterday. You know, he is just an awesome God. And let's see, did I miss anything? Let's see. Oh, one other thing I know I was going to tell you. How many of you have heard that the head of the CSC says that the Ebola virus is not airborne? It's not very contagious. Have you heard that? Well, guess what I just heard? I just heard a few minutes ago that one of the men that went in with his space suit on, you know what I'm talking about? The spacesuit that went into the guy that died, you know, I mean, before he went in there, he had a spacesuit on, totally covered up with gloves, head, everything. As of this morning, he's diagnosed with Ebola. Now then, if that guy's been diagnosed with Ebola and he had a spacesuit on, you better be glad you're covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. See? Because if we are covered in the blood of Jesus, it can't touch us. If we stay in faith, we have nothing to fear. But if you start listening to the wrong things. You better not get out there. You better not let nobody touch you. You're going to catch Ebola. And if you start saying, oh my God, what am I going to do if I catch Ebola? Hey, you're in trouble. You're going to catch it because you're listening to the wrong words. Jesus told us that he is our deliverer. He is our healer. He's everything to us, and we don't have to be sick, but we do have to obey. If we do not obey, then you can be sick. And I don't want to be sick, do you, Bill? I want to walk in love with my wife. You know, I want to love her like Christ loved the church so that when I pray for her, God always answers my prayer for her. Is that the way you want to pray for Betty? All the time, see? And so all of you wives, I'm telling you for sure, if you wives are not walking in love with your husband, you better change what you're doing today. Because I don't think that young lady that was here yesterday enjoyed those sharp pains. Like she said, it felt like a big needle was being stuck in her scalp and then pulled back out. And she didn't like that. But you know, she never even thought that the reason that happened to her was because last month when she was at the healing school sitting right over here, when she was here, I said, wives have to submit to their husbands and everything. And she said, I didn't like that. I have a problem with that. Is that what she said? That's what she said. Well, you know, when she got tired of being sick and tired and she submitted to her husband and he prayed for her, then her pain went away and she hadn't had another pain. I was just amazed. I mean, as I've learned these principles and how they work, if you want to walk in divine health, you have to go by the rules of the book, right? The owner's manual was not written just for Thurman and Cheryl. The owner's manual was written for the body of Christ. Is that right? So that means we need to study it and listen to it, and it means exactly what it says. Now then, I'm going to talk about some of these wonderful things that God has done for us. I want to start today at the same place I started yesterday, in Isaiah 53:1. I want to read Isaiah 53:1, and then 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll go from there. Isaiah 53:1. Let's see what that says. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now then, let me ask you a question. How many of you were listening at what I just said? Okay, so somebody that listened, then I'm going to ask somebody that listened. I don't want to intimidate you, but somebody that held your hand up, what was the last statement? What did I talk about, or who was I talking about in that? Who was listening? What was I talking about? Who wants to tell me? Oh, you were listening. You got it. You said that I was talking about wives must submit to their husbands. Is that what I said? Now then, let me ask you a question. Did you hear that? 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 Did you hear it? Oh, okay. Well, it don't make any difference. Did you hear what I said? Is that what I said? Is that, did the Lord say wives must submit to their husband in all things? Okay, now let me ask you another question. How many of you are going to obey that? Okay. How many of you are going to obey it? I want to see every woman's hand in this place that's got a husband. Let me see your hand. You going to obey your husband? Hold up your hand. Hold both of them up. How about you? You believe that? Now then, how many of you girls want to be sick? None of you want to be sick. Okay. Now then, who has believed our report? Do you know that there's sometimes I will sit here and talk about all this stuff, and I will talk about something like why I submit to your husbands and everything, because that was a great testimony yesterday, wasn't it? A great testimony. I mean, that little girl got healed. But just think, that was the first time. Now, she's a Christian, and her husband go to church all the time. That was the first time in her life she had ever heard the statement that wives must submit to their own husbands and everything. And so when she heard that, she thought, this guy's got to be crazy. You know, I have a problem with having to submit to my husband. After all, aren't I an individual? Can't I do what I want to do? No, you cannot. Not if you want to walk in divine health, you can't. You have to obey your husband. Gracie, is that what the word says? I mean, Mike sometimes might ask you to do something you really don't want to do, but what do you got to do? You got to do it anyway. That's the way that you don't argue with him, do you? No, he's the head of the house. Huh? Oh my! Here's at least here's a truth for it. Oh, is that what she said? I will try not to. No. You're not. You're going to do it. You're going to obey your husband, right? Because you don't want to spank him from God, do you, Gracie? No, you don't want. You'd much rather see him answer your prayer, would you not? You know. I got so tickled the other day, I went down to Mike and Gracie's shop for something, and they had cars in every bay. I mean, man, there was cars everywhere. I said, boys, your business good. He said, yeah, Pastor, after you come by here the other day and you prayed the blessing upon us, he said, we have been covered up ever since you prayed that blessing. That do you want to see God answer your prayer like that? Yes, I mean, I want to see the man busy, covered up, so he can fix the people's cars and do a good job. But if somebody don't bring them, he don't have nothing to do. So we know that if we don't pray, nothing happens. So when I went by there, he wasn't too busy. I said, well, let's just pray a blessing over this place. So we prayed a blessing over this place, and he told me yesterday that he has been absolutely swamped, covered up with work, just running out the ears. He's got so much work. Isn't that amazing? Now, what did the Lord tell us to do to pray about what? Everything with thanksgiving, right? So we don't forget to thank him and praise him. So that's what we need to do. But he says, who has believed our report? Well, when we talk about this report we're talking about right now is wives, obey your husbands in all things. I wanted to know, I wanted to see your hands. I want to know how many women in here heard that report. And if you heard it, are you going to obey it? Because if you obey it, it can bring a blessing upon your life beyond your wildest dreams. If you disobey it, it will bring the most awesome, devastating thing upon your life, and you won't like it. You won't be able to get along with your husband. He is made to be the ruler of the home. And if you don't give him that privilege and let him do it, you will have a miserable marriage, and it may not last long. That's why we got the problem we got in the church today. We got too many people, both men and women, that will not obey the report of the Lord. So we're going to talk a little bit about these reports. Who has believed it? Well, who should believe it? Every believer. But do we? No, we do not. We do not. Okay, let's go to verse 3, 4, and 5. Go to verse 3. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now listen to this report. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. How many heard that report? How many believes that report? Amen. If you really believe that report, did you really believe that report? Did you believe that report? Did you really believe he meant what he said there? Do you believe that? Ronnie, you believe that? Okay, if Jesus, Roy, if Jesus really meant what he said there, then let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and I want to show you in the New Covenant what he's talking about here when he's talking about these verses in the New Covenant. Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and let's read that, those two verses. Matthew 8, 16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. All. Next verse. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, where did we get this? That's what we just read from Isaiah. We were just in about who's going to believe this report. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, He took our infirmities or our weakness or our sins, and He bore our sickness. Now then, anybody that believes that, let me just ask again, since I'm having a show of hands. How many of you believe He means what He says there in Matthew 8, 16, 17? In other words, it's written in God's Word, is it not? Okay, so if He really meant what He said and we got that report, if you really got it, then this is what it tells you. If you've got a sin in your life, I've bore that sin for you. I've taken care of it. So it's done. All you got to do is believe it. You confess that sin, I will take care of that sin. It's gone. It's done. You won't have no more sin. And then if you will confess that sin, I've already bore your sickness and removed your disease. So all you need to do is praise me for your healing. You are healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And the minute that that gets from here to here, you're going to get healed. Amen. You're going to be made well because you realize Jesus has already done it for you and me. But you know what? When to take a crowd of 100 people, if two people, this is unfortunate, you will all say you got it. You understand it. You believe it. But you walk out of here and next week some kind of a pain or something comes upon you, and you know what the first thing most of you is going to do if the pain gets very intense? What are you going to do? Of course, call the doctor. Go to the doctor. You never stop to think, now, Lord, just because I... Talk about this little girl again that was up here yesterday. Just because that little girl wouldn't submit to her husband, that couldn't possibly put a pain in her head. That couldn't possibly feel like a needle. Is that what she said, Gracie? Felt like a needle going in her head. Is that what she said? And then they'd stick it in and then pull it out. She could feel it, didn't she? But, you know, who would ever dream to stop and think if all these things are true that he just said? And let me tell you, they are, because it's written in God's Word. That if she would have to stop and think, okay, God, what did I do? Up until now, I had confessed all my sins, but all of a sudden something now is happening and I'm getting this pain in my head. But Jesus has already bore that pain for me. So what is it that I've done wrong? It can't be nothing. It couldn't be. Couldn't be. So, and it's hurting so bad, let me call 911 or honey, run me down to the doctor's office. I'm hurting so bad I can't even drive. That happens to us all the time. It's just like Cheryl told me the other day, she hurt herself a little bit some way, and she was getting over it. We prayed over for 2 or 3 days, and she looked at me and she said, you know what? I said, what, honey? She said, if I wasn't married to you, I would be in the doctor's office with this right now. You see what I mean? But she knew she was married to a man of faith. And when he prays over her, she has seen God heal her body so many times now. When anything goes wrong with her body, the first person she calls is me. And then she wants me to call on my God. And when I call on my God, Mary, guess what happens? He meets my wife's need. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to have a husband that'll pray for you? It is. You know, it's wonderful. Every husband in here should be like that. Every man should be willing to pray for his wife, and every wife needs to be willing to submit to her husband in all things and do exactly what he tells her to do. I don't care whether you like what he told you to do or not. Just obey. Do what he says, and it's going to bring a wonderful life to you and your spouse. I guarantee it. If you don't obey God, I mean, just like that little girl, I gave the testimony yesterday. She had not picked up on that when she told us about how her husband had prayed for her, but she had not yielded to him until she came up and I talked to her. I didn't know that part. And that's when I told her, I said, that's why the pain was so intense. It's because you had heard here when you were sitting right over here last month that you're supposed to submit to your husband, and you didn't want to do that, so you wanted to say, okay, since I don't agree with that, I'm not going to believe that, and I don't need any counsel from God or nobody else. I'm my own woman. I can do what I want to do. And the Lord says, sure you can. Stick another needle in her head. Gracie, you want needle stuck in your head? That don't even sound like fun, but that's what she said, wasn't it? I'm not stretching the truth. That's what that girl said when she gave her testimony, right? It's exactly what she said. But just think, when she submitted and gave her husband the book and said, here's the promises, honey. You read these, and then when I get back in feeding the dog, you can pray for me. She said, but before I got back in the kitchen, all my pain went completely away, and I was completely healed, and I've not had another pain in my head since. And she stood right here and gave that testimony yesterday. And I thought, you know, if every woman, especially every wife, could get a hold of that and could submit to their husband with no problem. Really, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to submit. You know, just, I mean, when your husband tells you to do something, just do it. Does that sound difficult? I mean, you know, but you got to do everything in love. You're the man. You got to do everything in love. You can't be a demanding somebody and bang, hey, you got to do this. You got to obey me. That's not the way, that's not what God meant at all. He meant for you to love her like Christ loved the church. And then, of course, the reason I believe so many men don't get their prayers answered is because that scripture says, the Lord says, husbands, love your wives like I love the church, and I was willing to give my life for her. If you do not do that, he says, then I will not answer your prayer. So why do you think so many men, husbands, don't get a prayer answered? It's because they don't walk in love with their wife. You know, if you walk, I mean, there's a set of rules, and we have to go by these rules. If you don't go by the rules, they don't work. Just think. In verse 17, he says there, just like he asked us over there in Isaiah, that it, who's going to listen or who's going to hear the report of the Lord? But here it is, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, that's talking about Jesus, he took our infirmities or our sins, and he bore our sickness. So, when you begin to get a hold of this, and you think, okay, God, when I accepted you as my Lord and Savior, when I was a little 11-year-old boy, I'm sure I had many different sins in my life. I've lived a pretty clean life, but I'm still a boy. You know, so who knows what I did wrong, you know, and of course, in God's sight, what I done wrong, what I did in my eyes is two different things. You know, I might think, hey, I'm a pretty good boy. And he said, man, you need a cat of nine tails on the hold of you. And that's probably the way it really looks with God. But anyway, regardless, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, regardless of how many wicked sins I had in my life to God, it don't matter how bad they were, how many of those sins did the blood of Jesus wash away? So in other words, I was clean. Is that right? I was clean and pure and holy before God at that moment, right? Okay, now if I could stay there, and that's where I'm supposed to stay. But, you know, nobody ever even explained that to me. I mean, I always heard that, you know, I'm just an unworthy sinner saved by grace, and there's not any way I can walk all day without sinning. But that's not what the Word says. Now then, if you want to be sick, you know, you do it the world's way, or if you want to do it God's way and be well, then you'll take scriptures like 1 Peter 2:21 through 24, and let's see what that says. 1 Peter 2:21 through 24. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving, look at what he said there, suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. Now let me ask you a question. If he left you and me an example that we're supposed to follow in his steps, somebody just name me one thing that Jesus did, just one thing. He died on the cross for us. But I mean, while he was here on the earth just walking, what? He fed the homeless. He did that. He did feed the homeless. What, anybody else? He did what? He forgave our sins. Okay. Name me some physical things that Jesus done. Wow, he changed the weather. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, there's a man beginning to think like God. He changed the weather. What other things? He changed the water into wine. I mean, we could go on and on now that we're getting on a roll here. He did all kinds of things, did he not? He did all these kind of things. He says he left us an example, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Well, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've turned a jug of water into wine? You've tried it, it hadn't worked. Y'all see what I'm trying to get at here? There's something wrong with us. Do you know that? Somebody asked me the other day, when's the last time you walked on water? Well, I've tried it several times, but I ain't never made. Only time I've ever walked on water is when I go to Minneapolis when it's in the wintertime. When it's frozen solid, then I can do a pretty good job, Harold, walking on water, right?
Yeah.
But otherwise, so guess where the problem is, with God or with me?
Me.
Yeah, it's me. You ain't joking. It's me. But if he left us an example that we're supposed to follow in his steps, if he did all these things he did, just like controlling the weather. I mean, I got real tickled the other day, Kim and Scott. They were somewhere and some kind of a meeting, and all of a sudden there was lightning and storms and all kinds of stuff. And everybody said, "Whoa, we need to get in the cellar or whatever, get in the building." Kim and Scott said, "Well, no problem. We'll just go outside and take care of that." And so they went outside, and I think she's the one that threw her arm up. And of course, there's lots of people, especially young people, watching her. She just threw her arm up and began to rebuke that storm, command that storm to go away, and not hurt nobody in Jesus' name. And one or two of the young boys said, "I ain't never heard nobody pray a prayer like that in my life." Is that what Jesus did?
That's what he did.
Now, if Jesus did that and he left us an example to follow, should we be able to do those same things?
Yes.
If we don't, who gets beat up on? We do. I mean, he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So anything that Jesus did, well, let's just see what some of the things he lists. Let's go to verse 22. Let's see what that says. Who did no sin? Okay, if Jesus left us an example that we're supposed to follow in his steps, and he did no sin, how much sin are you and me supposed to have?
None.
I mean, is that going to be easy?
No,
it ain't going to be easy, is it, girl? But if Jesus told you to do it, he empowered you to do that, right? It may take some trying and work on your part, but he left you and me an example to follow in his steps, and he said, and he and him, there was no sin. So there ain't supposed to be no sin in mine and your life, right? Now then, does anybody else see what I'm talking about there? Do you agree with that, Bill?
Oh, yeah. He took the authority over the enemy.
Yeah. All kinds of them. We're supposed to walk in obedience to his word. I mean, is what I'm teaching you exactly what Jesus put in his word?
Yes.
Is that really what it says?
Yes.
That's what I get out of it. It says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Uh-oh. You talk about sometimes we can really do something. I guarantee to make that work for me. I haven't mastered this yet. I am not there. It takes at least a triple layer of 2-inch duct tape. With one layer, I can still mumble. 2 layers, I can still a little bit. 3, by that time, it's so stiff, I can't even move my lips. So no guile. But that's the way we are. I mean, but did Jesus tell us to do this?
Yes.
Now, is it going to take some effort to do that?
Yes.
I guarantee it's going to take some effort. But if we do it, let's go to the next verse, 23, and let's see what else he said. Who, when he was revealed, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, see, here's the way it's done. When your wife don't obey you and she gives you trouble, this is what you do. You reach over, grab her by the neck, and you shake her. And say, "Woman, pay attention to me." Now then, let me ask you a question. You guys don't have to hold up your hand, but is there ever a man in here besides me that wanted to do that to his wife once or twice in his life? I hope you don't hold your hand up, but I know if you don't hold your hand up, you're lying. Because there's been times in your life when she's driven you over the brink. Is that right? We're human beings, are we not? Does this take some effort to do what he's telling us to do here? Can we do it? Yes. If God knew we couldn't do this, he would not have commanded us to do this. But he didn't say it's going to be easy. I've read this book from cover to cover many times, and I have never found a place in here where he said, and it will be easy. Have you ever found that? You have not found it either. I haven't either. Okay, and then verse 24. If we do all those things from verse 21 to 23, then he said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. In other words, if he bore our sin again, how much sin should we do? According to the word, none. And then if we do all that, then look at the promise. By whose stripes you were healed. So see, If you can believe this report, and you can obey God, and you can walk in this, and you can, if you couldn't, He would not have told you. If you will believe this report and stand on this report and quote His word and praise Him and thank Him, that, Lord, I thank You that You bore my sins, so I'm not going to sin no more. You know, I don't care. I'm kidding with my wife here. I don't care if she was to get angry with me and just, tear me up, slap me in the face 3 times or whatever she did. I believe with all my heart I could just say there and say, honey, I'd grab her and hold her and say, I love you. And I would not retaliate to her, because if I retaliate, then I get into sin. Is that right? And I don't want to go there, you know. Now, so I, of course, she's never done that, nothing like that to me. I just use that as an example. But if she did, which I don't believe she ever will, she, you know, there's been a couple of times I did something and she said, I'm going to use Tybo, I'm going to get you. You know, so there's a couple of times in my life I did something that riled her up a little bit, you know. And she was like, So she knows how to kick. She knows how to fight, you know. So you know, if I'm the pastor and I can rile my wife up, if yours has never riled you up, and you're lying. You know, I just don't think you can do that. I know I haven't been able to totally in the last 10, 11 years that we've been married. I know there's been at least a couple of times I said something that really, you know, made her want to, because, you know, she did it to me. She said, I'm tied on to get you. But she never hit me yet, so praise the Lord. If I come in with a black eye someday, y'all know she hit me. Oh, the thing about it is, one time I had a little black eye, and somebody said something at work. I hit something. I forget what. I run into something and hit my eye, and it got black a little bit. I didn't know much about standing in faith back in those days. And I went to work the next morning. Somebody said, oh, my gosh, what happened to your eye? I said, oh, well, I said, you know how it is, guys, if you're married. I said, my wife was talking to me last night, and I thought she said, shut up. And so I thought, she said shut up, and I thought she said stand up. So I said, I just stood up, and when did she punch me in the eye? See, that's back in the day, but I didn't know God says no coarse jesting. I didn't know that, so Lord, forgive me for that. But does God say no coarse jokes, jesting, no joking? Yes, He does. So see, Lord, thank You for forgiving me for that sin, because I didn't know that back in those days, so I could jest and coarse joke and all that kind of stuff, and not really understand why different things come upon me and why that a cold would come upon me or flu or whatever. I just thought that was a way of life. I mean, I used to have the flu at least once or twice a year. So every time that in the spring or the fall, whatever, when the cool weather come and the rains and everything else and you're running around and get wet with cold, you know, my mother had always told me, son, don't go out in that cold weather. You'll catch your death of cold. So I just thought that's something that had to happen. And so I would say it, you know, when I'd get out in the west. Well, I got all soaking wet and that cold. I said, I guess I'll come down with the flu. And of course, in a few days, the enemy's right there. He's just saying, oh, you dummy, you. And he just puts it on me. He's happy to do what I said. I hadn't met Dave Rosenfeld at that time. I didn't know I had dominion and power like he's taught us yesterday. But I didn't know that, you know, I didn't. But we all are learning. And so anyway, if we really get a hold of these things and we walk in love and do exactly what the Master says, He says there on that last line, if you've done everything from verse 21, 22, 23, and the first part of 24, then the last line, by whose stripes you were healed, will work for you, and you won't have any sickness and any disease. Now, let me tell you, I learned this principle 35 years ago. I'm going to be 76 years old, praise God, in just 2 and a half months. And I've not been to the doctor, not one single time, in 35 years. Now then, if it works that good for me, is God no respecter of persons? Will it work for you? Amen. Yes, it will work for you. Has it been easy? Absolutely not. Has it been tough? Absolutely. Is it impossible? No. Can we do this? Yes, we can. If you put that effort out. Now then, let's go to John 14:12. John 14:12. And I want to show you something else that our Master said we could do that most of us don't believe. Look at John 14:12. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I, Jesus, say unto you, he that believeth on me. Okay, now he or she that believeth on me. Let me see a row of hands. I'm in the roll calling business today. How many of you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? I want to see a hand. If you believe that, okay, I believe that's every one of us. Okay. If we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, who's he talking to here? Us. He's talking to us. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I, Jesus, say unto you, he or she that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, which he do, shall, because I, shall you, all, I'll get it right in a minute, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now then, like Jack said back there a while ago, Jesus controlled the weather, didn't he, Jack? Yes. Jesus controlled the storms. Jesus controlled the water. He controlled the rain. He controlled the fish. I mean, they'd been out fishing all night and couldn't catch nothing. And Jesus said, let's go out there and put your net right out there. Peter said, Lord, we're the professional fishermen. We've been out here all night. That's the way we try to treat Jesus, you know. I mean, you know what we forget about Jesus? He is the creator God. He is the one that, like Dave talked about yesterday in healing school, when he spoke, did light appear? I mean, did it happen? Did it take a week? No. How long did it take? Bam. It happened. So see, he's trying to tell us he has given us this same dominion and same authority and same power. The only problem is it don't work for us because we don't believe it. That's why he said, who has believed the report of the Lord? You know, you ask the average person, when somebody comes down with some kind of sickness, or that little girl with a pain in her head because she wouldn't obey her husband, how many people do you know that you could say, you know, all you got to do is get rid of the sin, whatever it is. I mean, ask the Lord to reveal to you what kind of sin you've got. And immediately when you ask him, and the Lord tells her, you're not obeying your husband. Is there anybody else out there listening? I don't want to talk to that one. You see where I'm coming from? Is that what we do? I mean, we get the truth from the Holy Spirit. We don't want to hear what he has to say. We want to hear what somebody else says. I don't want to believe this. I don't believe that I can be made sick because I sinned. You know how many times I've heard that in my life? I mean, millions. I mean, there's been thousands of times people say, sin and sickness are not directly related. Well, let me tell you, you got to be too late. You know, that's just like I promised Dave. Whenever I saw Dave the first time with his terrible disease all over his body, I told him, son, if you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. And of course, back in those days, Dave's thinking, now, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. Who do you think you are? There's one difference. I knew who I was. I am a son of God. Is that right? Amen. Now then, if we are sons of God and daughters of God, he just told us what we could do, didn't he? He says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, and we believe in Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If we believe that, and I know Mike and Gracie, they're getting to where they believe that, because I think almost everybody comes into their shop down there before they get away, they pray for them. Isn't that something? I mean, they've seen the power of prayer. They know what it'll do. I mean, it healed his body. You know, I mean, if you've been sick or down in your back for years or whatever, in fact, I will tell you that only a couple of weeks ago, there was a man here that he's a prophet, and he told me again about how he got healed. He said, when I first met you years ago over in Dallas, he said, I picked up some of your teachings, and I was listening to them on tape going out to West Texas. And he said, of course, I'm a prophet of God. I study the Word of God. I know what the Word of God says. And he said, we're driving along, and said, I'd had back trouble. I just thought about Mike and his back trouble that he used to have. This prophet had had back trouble for years. And he's in excruciating pain. And he said, I'm driving down the road, listening to you teach the Word of God. And I said, God, what that man is teaching us is the truth. Every word he said comes out of your word. I've read it. I've heard it. I know it. So why do I still have my back problem? And the Lord spoke to him and said, because of your unbelief. He said, Lord, I repent for my unbelief. And as a sermon, I was instantly healed. Instantly healed. Never had another back trouble. What is our problem?
Unbelief.
Unbelief. Yeah, because if we didn't go there, we could turn that water into wine. You know that?
I still believe I can.
Amen. At least he's on the right track. He believes he can. Now see, that's a place to start.
Amen.
At least that young man's got the right confession.
Amen.
I believe I can. Why in the world would he do such a stupid thing? Because he's seen it in the Word.
Amen.
You know, people say he's crazy. He said, no, I read it in the Word. Pastor Thurman showed me in the Word where Jesus said, if I believe in Jesus, I should be able to do everything he done. So I'm going to confess, I believe I can. Praise God, son, we need more people like you.
Amen.
We need people that believe the Word of God. I mean, if you don't believe you can do these things, if you don't believe it, just think, who is it that lives inside of you and me?
Jesus.
So when I go up to lay hands on somebody, whose hands am I actually laying on them?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus' hands. Now then, if I'm walking in total faith and believe what all this says, when I touch that person with my hands, I touch them with Jesus' hands, so they should be healed right there. And we have seen that many, many times. But there's sometimes we don't see it. And then I think, what did I do wrong this time? Now, there's been a few times that I prayed over people that they died. You know, there's been a few times. And I remember going to a man that was very deathly sick. Now, in fact, let me tell you how this works. There was a man, good friend of mine, was a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader in a Church of Christ. I mean, I know the Church of Christ studies the Word of God. They read the Word of God, but they're just like all the rest of us. They don't believe all the Word of God. They only believe parts of it. I mean, I was raised in a Baptist church, and we only believe parts of it. So I've never met very many people that believed all the promises of God. They don't exist. But anyway, this man, I went down to see him. He had brain tumors. So I took the day off, and I drove 3.5 hours down to where he was at. He'd already been sent to San Antonio to a specialist, and they took the top of his head off, and he had so many big tumors in the top of his head that they couldn't fix him. And so they just put the head back on, and they said, you know, except God intervene, this man's going to die. Well, see, they didn't understand that God is running the show. I mean, he had the brain tumors because of God. Now, most people don't know that, and they don't believe that, but let me tell you, it's true. So anyway, I went down there, and I walked in. When I walked in this room, I met a woman. And I said, who are you? And she said, well, I'm his wife. I said, oh, that's great. I said, how long y'all been married? She said, 10 years. I said, 10 years. I said, well, I said, I knew his first and second wife. I said, are you his third? And she said, yes. I said, have you ever been married before? She says, no, he's my first and only husband. I said, okay, good. Okay, so I said, where do y'all go to church? She said, the First Baptist Church. I said, how many times have you been? Somebody says, why are you asking all these questions? I only have one answer to that. I'm led by the Spirit of God. That's the only reason I ask questions, because the Spirit, you know. Anyway, I said, how many times have you been? And she said, well, five or six times. I said, ma'am, I can't believe that this is the middle of the year, and I can't believe that y'all have only been to church 5 or 6 times in the whole year. She said, oh, Thurman, I don't believe you have to go to church to serve God. So we've only been to church 5 or 6 times in the 10 years we've been married. Now see, all y'all know that's not wrong already. You know that's wrong, don't you? The Lord told us anywhere to go to church. How often? Every time the door's open, go somewhere, right? I mean, you know, there's times you can go do something else, but he said, make it your goal to be in church. And so anyway, I sat down with that man. And I prayed over that man for 3.5 to 4, maybe 5 hours that day after she told me they didn't have to go to church. But there he is sitting there looking out the window. He don't know who I am or nothing. And after praying over him, I anointed him with oil. I prayed scripture over him. I laid the Word of God on him. I did everything that I possibly knew to do for this man to get him healed. When I got through, about 4 or 5 o'clock that afternoon, I don't think I ever prayed over any man, one man, any more than I did this guy, maybe. I turned and looked at him. I said, who am I? And he turned and looked at me and he said, you're Thurman Scrivener. I said, praise God, you're going to get well. I just know it. Well, that was on Monday. So I drove back home Monday afternoon, Monday night, and Thursday they called me and said he passed away. So I went back Sunday to the funeral. And after I watched them put this 55-year-old man, 55 years old, I watched them put him in the ground in a casket and buried him. And as soon as I got in my car, I said, okay, Lord, you put me in this healing ministry. I didn't ask for this, but you did this. And I've used those scriptures to pray for many a person, and they got healed. I've seen your healing power. I know it works. But I want to know what I did wrong on this one, why this man did not get healed. Because, see, I had listened to the report of the Lord, and it had worked for me in many cases, right? So if it works not just once or twice, but 50 or 60 times, and then all of a sudden one time comes along, it don't work, then there's got to be some issue here that's wrong, right? Why would it work every time till all of a sudden it don't work? Well, that's exactly what I was wondering. And so I continued to ask the Lord all the way home for 3 hours, over 3 hours. I said, Lord, I have got to know what I did wrong in this case. I said, Lord, I've got to know why I went down. I prayed over this man. I remitted this man's sins. I prayed over him. I anointed him with oil. I did everything I knew. I used every scripture I knew to pray over this man, and he died. So, Lord, did I have a sin in my life? What did I do wrong? I said, every time I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the answer. And then I would sit there for a few minutes, and if I didn't hear anything, I'd go back and say, okay, Lord, I ain't going away till I find out what I did wrong. I wanted to know what I did wrong. Finally, after about 3.5 hours, when I said, thank you, Lord, for showing me, he said, son, you didn't do anything wrong. He said, the problem was his, and you'll find the reason he died in John 15:2. Now, isn't that something? Now, I'm a Southern Baptist, you know, and so I don't have John 15:2 committed to memory, but I turn to John 15:2, and let's see what John 15:2 says. Every branch in me, every branch. What are we? Branches. If we're sons of God, what are we? Branches. We're branches, is that right? Yeah. He's talking about you and me, is he not? Does he say some branches? How many branches? Okay, so does that include everybody in this room? That includes everybody in this room. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes it away. Now, wait a minute. This man had been a fruit bearer. He was a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader in a Church of Christ for years. And then he married his third wife, and she got him out of church. She got him out of church. And what happened to him? He got cut off. Is that what the scripture says? In other words, he quit producing fruit, and you notice God didn't just give him a year, did he? How many years did he give him?
10.
God gave the man 10 years, and he had been a good fruit bearer. He'd been a Sunday school teacher. He'd been a youth leader. He'd done all kinds of things in the Church of Christ. He was productive for the kingdom of God. But then one day he married a woman that run the show instead of letting the man run the show. This is why it's so important that you women realize that you need to let your husband run the show if you want him around. If he's a man of God, he will produce fruit regardless of what you do. It shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is. So if the woman, which in her case, she got him out of church, honey, we don't have to go to church. We can stay at home and serve God. We can listen to it on TV or something. And he listened to her. And he quit going to church. And God gave him 10 years. And then because he stopped bearing fruit, God put those brain tumors in his head and he killed him stone dead at 55 years of age. And I guarantee, I know that's why he died, because God told me that I'd find my answer in John 15:2. Now, I was a Baptist and a Southern Baptist. And when I read that, I says, God, you killed him. What did he say he would do there? Cut. What does the word cut him off mean? Yeah. Isn't that something? You know, you ask the average Christian, do you think God would make you sick? Oh, absolutely not. God loves me. Do you think God would kill you? Oh, no, he would never do that. You used to ask some people that. You ask them that question. Do you think God would make you sick? You think God would kill you? And then you tell them, well, what do you think that verse means? And then listen to what they have to say. Have them turn over and read John 15:2. What does John 15:2 say?
Every branch.
How many branches?
Every branch.
Does that include every one of us in this room?
Yes.
If we do not bear fruit for God's kingdom, what's he going to do to us? Now, aren't you glad he gives give this man at least 10 years? Because you might not have known that, right? And you probably didn't know that for a while, right? You know how many people I see in the church that produces absolutely no fruit for the kingdom of God? The majority. The majority of the church members do not produce any fruit whatsoever for the kingdom of God. They don't do anything. Did you know, so many people that are members of the church, they won't even give a tithe to the church that they go to. They won't even give God any money. And then they wonder why they get sick and wonder why nothing goes right in their life. It's amazing. We fail to realize that once we get moved into the kingdom of God, in fact, let me ask you a question in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Let me put that on the board and then you read it and then I'm going to see how many of y'all believe that. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Look at this. See what this says. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? So, verse 20, let's read verse 22 then. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a husband and you're not willing to love your wife like Christ loved the church, what makes you think you have the right to do such a thing? Because who do you really belong to? You really belong to Jesus, don't you? And since you're not your own, and this body that you're living in is the temple of the Holy Ghost, if you don't do what he says, does he have the privilege to take this body out?
Absolutely.
And I ain't ready to go yet. Are you, Bill?
No way.
So I don't know about you, brother, but I won't obey him, don't you? Hold on a second. We'll get the microphone here. They say they can't hear, and I understand. We want everybody to be able to hear what's going on.
You know, this whole hour we've spent talking together, these words keep coming back in my mind, and it applies to a family, it applies to this organization here, but the words are chain of command. This whole Bible is based on chain of command.
Amen.
Just like the military.
Amen.
Is it not?
Yeah.
So if we obey the rules in the chain of command, and that's what they're giving us here, then we should be able to walk in this faith, and things should be accomplished because we're not breaking the rules.
That's right. Absolutely.
According to this, from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
Can you
imagine, after what Bill's talking about, can you imagine, let's say I was a buck private. And one time I was, you know, in the military. I went in, didn't have a single stripe or nothing, just a plain old buck private. When I went in there, can you imagine, let's say the commanding general of the base had two stars on his shoulder. He walks up and says, son. And I said, yeah, old man, what do you want? Can you imagine what would happen to me? You've been in the military. How many of you men been in the military? Some of you boys been in the military? You know, I can remember when I first went in the Air Force and we were going through bivouac and training and all that stuff. And we're standing there at attention and all this stuff. And the guy says, airman, you say, sir. He says, what did you say? I said, sir. He said, say, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. He said, you didn't say it loud enough. I said, yes, sir. He said, that ain't loud. Get out and give me 20 push-ups. But, sir, get out and give me 30 push-ups. But, sir, give me 40 push-ups. Now, if you ain't never lived, if you ain't never been in the military, you ain't ever experienced any fun. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But let me tell you, I've been there and done that, so I know what I'm talking about. I mean, those guys are teaching you discipline. God is no different. When we don't fall in line, just like Bill's talking about there, if we don't fall in line with that, he disciplines us. And I can guarantee you, you won't like the discipline. Is that right, Bill? It's so much easier just to say, yes, master. How can I help you? What can I do, Lord? I am not my own, I'm yours. He said, well, son, I want to send you over to the hospital to pray for a little girl. I want you to go over there. Yes, Lord, just show me how to get to where the room is. I'm ready to go. Now then, son, when you go over there, I want you to believe. Lord, I'm going to believe. If you send me over there to pray for this little girl who's got her brain stem severed, I'll pray in faith. I guarantee, nothing wavering. And you go over there and you do it. And everybody there tells you it can't happen. she's going to die. It's not going to happen. But you don't listen to their report. You remember who you are. You are a son of God. And if the master calls you to do something, it doesn't make a difference how long it takes. If you inquire of him, Cheryl asked me this often. You know, this people called and they wanted you to come to whatever Lubbock to pray for this man. And you didn't even call, much less go. But there was another one. They called and it's in Canada. And you immediately got the guys together and y'all ran up there. Well, what's the deal? Why do you do that? Now, let me ask you a question. I know she knows the answer. Why do you think I do that? I'm led by the Spirit. If the Lord says go, I go. Because when he says go, I know I'm going to see him do something awesome. But if I try to do it on my own power, it'll never work. You won't never see a miracle doing it on your own power. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. And you got to hear his voice. And when he talks to you and tells you what to do, you obey. And sometimes he'll tell you to do something. I think I told this story here a while back, and it's really cool about this Catholic. This Catholic priest, he had seen some wonderful things. He'd been listening to TBN and some other places, and he had seen some awesome, wonderful miracles happen. So he's praying, God, use me for your glory. I want to see some miracles. And so, thank you, Lord, for doing it. He didn't hear God say nothing. But he went to church, and when he got to church, they had already started, so he stopped on the back row and sat down. He's sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to him and says, son, look to your left, and you see that woman over there with her head in her hands? He said, yes, Lord. He said, go over there and slap her in the face just as hard as you can slap her. He said, God, that can't be you. You know, I mean, nobody in their right mind would slap a person in the face. Especially not God. I mean, is that the way we think? I mean, God, he would never do such. So he said, I'm sitting there and said, in a few minutes, the Lord said, son, are you going to obey me? He said, God, this can't be you. Lord, it can't be true. You're telling me that's got to be the enemy. Lord, if I go and slap that woman in the face, they're going to lock me up. They're going to think I'm crazy. Is that right? So he waited till the service was just about over. And the Lord says, son, you asked me before service. You wanted to see me do something. Now then, are you going to obey me or not? He said, Lord, is this really you? You want me to go and slap that woman? He said, yes. So this man gets up. Now, what if this was you? Now, let's put it personal. Let's let it down to you. Now, you just ask God. Has any of you ever asked God to do something wonderful through you? And then you prayed and he done something or said something or led you somewhere and you thought, this can't be God? Well, see, you miss it. When you start trying to rationalize things, you miss it. So he gets up and he goes over there and the service is just about over. And he walks over there and he lays his hand on this woman's shoulder. And she kind of looks up at him. He says, ma'am, please forgive me. Bam! And she says, when she comes to herself, she says, oh my goodness, you have no idea what you just did. He said, well, what do you mean? She said, I was sitting here thinking, I brought my gun to church with me and it's out in the car and I'm so depressed when church was over, I was going to go out and blow my head off. But she said, you knocked that out of me. I don't want to do it no more. Now, isn't that something? I heard a Catholic bishop tell that story on TBN. And I thought, how unique this is. And I thought, as I listened to that, I thought, Lord, you've spoken to me many times and told me to do lots of things. But I wonder, if I'd have been there that day, would I have passed that test? You know, would I think about that? Would you have passed that test, Bill? You hope so, right? But, you know, don't ask God to give you a chance to do something for him unless you're willing to hear what he's saying. You know, I mean, I tell you times in the scripture, I remember when the king of Assyria came over to the prophet and he had leprosy. And the prophet wouldn't even come outside. This is the king of Assyria. I mean, he's a somebody. And he sends his little servant in and says, go in and tell the prophet I'm here. And he's going to think this prophet's going to come out and say, whoa, king, I'm so glad to see you. But he won't. He won't even come outside. He just said, tell that king to go up there into the Jordan River and dip seven times and he'll be clean. Just dip seven times. Now then, the little guy come back out and said, sir, the prophet, he won't come out. I can only imagine the king said, who does that idiot think he is? Doesn't he know I'm the king? But he said, sir, he gave you some instructions. He told you to go up and dip in the Jordan River seven times. What? In that old dirty Jordan, I could have stayed in the rivers of Assyria where they're clean, I could have dipped. But he said, sir, if he had told you to go out and fight a battle to win a war, you'd have done it. Because that's something that'll bring glory to you. But that's not what he wants you to do. He says, please, just go up and dip in the Jordan seven times. And so the king finally said, okay, I'll go. So he goes up there and I can see him now. Get out in the Jordan, goes down and comes back up and looks. And he said, see, the leprosy's still here. But the little prophet said, the little man, he said, but Lord, he said, seven times, not one time. Seven. So he goes down again. He comes back up. See, it's still there. But sir, can you imagine this battle? I mean, the prophet, see, you understand when God tells you to do something, you just do it, right? And so six times, it's still there. Sir, he said seven. One more time, please, one more time. Now, what if that king had said, that's it, I've had it. I ain't going to do it. He'd have still had leprosy. But he went down one more time in that old dirty Jordan River. And when he came up, his skin was as beautiful as mine or yours. He had absolutely no leprosy whatsoever. Now, when God gives us a report, do we need to believe it? Yes. If you want to see God do some wonderful things, you have to believe God and hear His report and do what He says. Who do we belong to? We belong to the Lord. This body's not mine. And then when I hear somebody say, well, I'm going to do it my way. You know, boy, when it comes to women with an abortion, I've talked to some girls and they say, Thurman, this body is mine and I'll do with it what I want to. And I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I said, then this body is not yours. It belongs to Jesus and you're subject to obey His commands. I don't believe that. I can do what I want to. I'm an individual. I can do what I want to. And let me tell you, if every one of you that held your hand up all ago that when I asked who's a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're not your own. You got a set of rules to follow. And if you don't follow that set of rules, I guarantee you're going to suffer the consequences because you got out of authority. Right, Bill? I don't know about you, but I don't like being sick. I love being well. I had much rather serve the Lord. I don't care if He says, son, jump. I'm on the way down. I'm going to say, how high, Lord? I don't want to disobey the master because I know this thing that I live in is not mine. I have given it to Him. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want to do. And I don't care what the world says. I don't care how they come against me. I don't care what anything is. I want to obey the Lord. Don't you?
Amen.
Yes. If you do, man, He'll bless your socks off. I love it when He answers a prayer like a powerful prayer. Don't you, Bill? Just awesome. God is so awesome. We're going to wind up and finish on Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. I can hear Paul now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just see that? Only I don't believe he's saying it like that. I believe he's saying, blessed be. I believe he's screaming it at the housetops. I think he really got a hold of this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with... That can't be true. That can't be true. He's blessed us with what? Miss Jackie, can that possibly be true?
It's true.
It is true. It's too good to be true, isn't it? But it is true, isn't it, girl? So if we walk in obedience to His Word and do what He says, that's why Paul could scream, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Is that right? How many?
All.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So if you're in Christ, and you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how many spiritual blessings belongs to you? Salvation belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. All power and authority over the enemy belongs to you. What else could you possibly want? If you have everything, what else could you possibly want, Mike? Everything. It's all inclusive, isn't it? With the package. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, everything belongs to us. Everything.
Long life.
Yes, that's one of those spiritual blessings. He promised if we will obey Him, if we will obey Him, He says in Proverbs 3, He clearly said in 4, He says, to them that finds my words and obeys them. In other words, you got to dig in there and find them. He said it will bring radiant health to all that flesh and a long life to you. And it doesn't mean, there was a man here yesterday that was at the healing school. And he said, I've been listening to your stuff for a couple of years. And he said, we're Baptists. But he said, one of my relatives got sick. And she wasn't really all that old, but said he got sick. And so everybody's saying, well, you know, it's not God's will for us to heal. We'll get glory out of being sick and dying. And he said, you know, I might still be a Baptist, but he said, I don't believe that junk. He said, you don't have to die now, early. He said, you can live a long life if you'll stand on these promises. And he said, I will have to say, from what I've learned about God's Word, a lot of it listening to you and your teaching and in reading the Word for myself, these promises do belong to us. If we will repent of our sins and get right with God, we do not have to be sick. I said, sir, that's what it says. We don't have to be sick. But if Jesus has already bore your sin and your sickness and removed your disease, if you get rid of all sin and walk in obedience to His Word, the healing is yours. It is yours. So, who has to be sick? Technically speaking, only those of us that don't believe. And that's too, unfortunately, that's too much of the church. I mean, just think of the number of people that we see healed at this church. Think of the number of people. I mean, let me just one more time. How many people that's in this congregation today has been healed through this ministry at least one time in your life? Wow, look at that. That's the most of us, right? Isn't that wonderful? Now then, let me ask all of you that have been healed, which way do you like it better, to be healed or to be sick?
Healed.
I didn't take Kim long to answer that one, that's for sure. But it belongs to each one of us, does it not? But you cannot claim by faith something you don't know that's yours. You have to know it's yours. And when you do, and then you claim it, it'll work every time. Is God awesome? Did He write us an awesome owner's manual? All we got to do is read it and believe it, right? And if we do, we're going to all walk in divine health. I love it. I love being young and healthy. And I think that one day when I do leave this earth, I'm still going to be young and healthy because I don't believe that. I think that the Lord's going to come, and I may be wrong, but I think He's coming in the rapture in the not too distant future. I mean, it may be a few years off, but you know, 5 or 10 years is nothing to Jesus. And of course, 5 or 10 years to us, that's nothing. You know, I mean, so, you know, I guess, you know, 10 years now, I would be 86 years old. So, that's still just a whippersnapper, right?
Amen.
Yeah, that's still just a young whippersnapper. You know, my goodness gracious. Oh, goodness gracious, praise God. Isn't God's Word awesome? When you get a hold of what He's provided for you. Now then, let me ask you this question. I'm going to go around this room one more time. How many of you heard His report? How many of you heard His report? Did you believe it? Did you hear His report? Are you going to believe it? You got it, Jack? You hear His report? Sharon? You got it. Everybody back there got it? And one more time. Joe, did you get that? You got it. You got your hand up. Okay. Roy, you heard that report. And you're going to believe it. How about you, youngin? You going to believe it? Isn't God awesome? Is His Word awesome? Isn't He wonderful? Are you glad you know Jesus?
Yes, amen.
How about you, brother? These are new Christians. This is older Christians. They've been around for a while. But you still know him, right, Betty? I have to tell this story. I love Betty's story. She's got an awesome story. And some of you heard it, but some of you hadn't. But here a few years ago, in fact, how many years ago was that when all that happened?
10 years ago.
10 years ago, she was trying to design a software package, a spreadsheet to make everything work for all the taxes and everything in a company she was working with or for or something. And she just couldn't remember some of the formulas and how to put them in those cells to make them work. So after working a long time, maybe all day or whatever, you worked a while, right? So she finally decided to go to bed, and then she thought, okay, Lord, you said in your word, I'm your daughter, I can ask for anything, so I'm going to ask you while I'm asleep to show me those cells and which ones and the formulas. Is that right, Betty?
That's right.
And so she asked for that, knelt down beside her bed and goes to bed, and during the night, the master that she had inquired of him to give her this information, the next morning when she woke up, she had every cell number, every formula, and she ran and put all those things in there, and that thing's been working perfect ever since, even to this day. Is that right? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, the reason I tell stories like that people have, some people might work for days trying to figure out how to make something work. And if you heard this story, you think, my gosh, if she did it, I can do it. So I can ask God. Is that right? That's why God told us when we ask him for something and he does something, he said, tell everybody what I did for you. Because he wants to bless us. You know, he says, I know what you have need of even before you ask me. But when you took the time to ask him, he was just more than happy to bless his little daughter with all those formulas and sales 10 years ago, and that thing's been working perfect ever since. Now just think, if she had not inquired of the Lord, think who she might have had to go to. She might have had to go to some professional people and all kinds of, might have spent days, and it might have cost lots of money. But God give it to you free. He didn't even charge you for that, did he, Betty? Lord, we are so grateful that you're our King and our Lord, and I'm grateful for all these wonderful testimonies that all these people have in here. Lord, we have such an awesome God. Now, Lord, I understand the weather people said it's going to rain tomorrow. So, Lord, I ask you to really soak the whole area way out toward the Possum Kingdom Lake and Graham and all that area, all across here, all across East Texas. Father, I ask you to give us 6 or 8 inches of good, nice rain to really fill up these lakes. And Lord, you said if just 2 or 3 of us in agreement, you would do it. So I want to know how many of y'all are in agreement that God's going to bring us a beautiful rain in Jesus' name. Okay, that's all of us. So praise the Lord. Then we should look for a beautiful rain tonight and tomorrow, right? Okay, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.